Blog Talk Radio.
On Wheels Now.
Welcome On Wheels Now, your inside look at locomotive sports. Live from Las Vegas, November 27th, 2018. I can't believe it's already holiday season.
Yes, it is.
Snuck up on us, I think. Hosting along with myself tonight, the man on a mission, Mr. Gary White.
How you doing?
What's happening? We're missing Justin again.
You're missing Justin.
Oh, sorry. he's non-existent here tonight.
No.
What I meant. But got a great show for you tonight. Guest tonight, I put veteran racer, not like you're a veteran and a racer, but you're a veteran racer. So, Mark Allison, thanks for being here with us tonight.
Oh, it's always a pleasure to be here with you guys and hang out.
Appreciate it. Well, hey, who doesn't love about racing, right? I know Gary likes
it. Yes,
usually it's about himself, though. But,
no,
I'm sorry. You know, I think the last couple times you've been in, Mark, I've missed the show, actually.
Probably.
Yeah. I think one time you were in, like, with Thane, and I missed that show. I forget what I was doing. I don't even remember. Gary, you might remember.
No, I don't know what you were doing. You wasn't here.
Okay.
I think, yeah.
What was my excuse?
You got a million. I don't remember them all. Yeah, Thane and you were both in.
Yeah.
And then J.J.,
no.
That was way back when JJ was here.
Yeah, but you were in here with Thane after JJ.
I think we were.
Yeah, you were. This was recently, yeah. You are way, you are like 2 years behind.
Hey, haven't they only been in once?
Nope.
No, we've been here twice.
Twice, together, yep.
Oh, okay then. Hey, you got
and I missed both times, by the way. That's why I know that. And actually,
maybe it's a Thane thing, the reason you don't come.
Don't let Gary put that in your head, Thane.
I think it's a
but it could
thing.
Be.
No. You don't even listen no more, so what's the matter?
Because we're not talking about his dog.
That's right. No, his horses.
His horses. He is not dogs.
Yes. His horses think they're dogs.
I hate to feed him.
I'd rather feed my race cars.
Right? So what happened to Justin? He's not with us anymore. Hey, we got a guest host here, Mark Allison. Justin, you're fired. You heard it here first. No, we can't do it that quick, can we?
Why you say no?
And you're not allowed to say you're fired. I think that's a trademark or service mark. So we're not allowed to say that. So you can't say that.
I can't say you're fired?
You can't say you're fired on air, no.
Oh.
Now without giving credit to
your beep,
the Donald. Yep, your beep.
Yep.
Anyways, a lot of racing to talk about. We got a lot of racing coming up, a lot of racing that just happened. So we like to talk about that kind of stuff. But first, before we get too far, before I forget again.
Let's
talk about, again, actually. HearClear. You haven't heard about HearClear? You should call and find out about it. The phone number is 725-333-4327. That's 725-333-HEAR. H-E-A-R. And what that is Cindy does hearing aids. She also custom makes earbuds.
Earbuds.
And she custom fits them. So if you don't have custom earbuds, Mark, you want to call Cindy at HearClear. 725-333-4327. You use earbuds or you use the speakers in your helmet?
The earplugs.
Yeah. They're not custom though, are they?
I've got two sets of custom.
Do you like the customs or not?
I don't really.
I don't because they fit too tight to me. I mean, but I was thinking about getting some more because I never had like custom like Cindy's made. I always got like the aftermarket custom ones.
No, these fit good. Hers fits great. And I can't hear nothing but whoever talks on the radio.
Or static, or... yeah. So, but yeah,
that's okay. Maybe sometimes that's what I need to hear.
Right. You know, I was down, I forget where it was, one of the guys in the trucks, actually. We were doing a road course, and the old-time racer guy out there. He was helping me out. And when he used to race, he used to put the earbuds in and he used to put duct tape right on top of them so they wouldn't pull out. Yeah. I was like, man, that's a great idea until you got to pull off the duct tape. But I guarantee they won't pull out of your ears when you put your helmet on and stuff like that. So I did it a couple times. It worked, but
it didn't feel too good coming out.
No, not a chance. So either way. Yeah, any tricks of the trade? Of course, I said veteran racer Mark Allison because you raced everything from dirt to asphalt and everything in between on dirt and asphalt. So any tips you can give us, we appreciate.
Actually, the like foam earplug ones, they work really good.
The ones you squeeze and you just stick them in. That's what I use nowadays. Yeah. So.
There's kind of a trick. You pull your ear back and open your ear cavity and
get them in deeper.
In there, and then they don't pull out. So
it's a good idea. You spent all that money. I'm sorry, Cindy. But, yeah, that's a good idea. Pull your ear back and get them in a little bit deeper. But, yeah, that's what I use now is the foam ones you squeeze. And they're still not cheap. Like $100 for a decent set of those still. How much are they? You find out? You said you're going to find out for us.
Nope. Haven't found out.
Actually, call her right now.
Actually,
call this number and let's find out how much these damn things are.
Actually, we started to talk about it and she got pulled away and I got pulled away. And
every time I say we're going to find out, and it's been I don't know how many weeks now, and I still don't know how much these damn things
maybe
are.
Maybe next week we'll find out.
All right. All
right. Maybe. We'll have to put a phone call into Hear Clear.
You put a phone call.
I will do that.
I'll take the responsibility off of me.
But, boy, that was easy.
Got to wait for
all
that
right,
one.
Then. I will make sure I have a price next week for this.
All right. That sounds good. Hey, if you missed last week's show, you can always catch the archives at onwheelsnow.com. There's a blue On Wheels Now underline link. You can go to that and you can go to any archived shows. You can go back and just search. There's a search bar up there. You can type in Mark and Thane Alderman and you'll be able to find those previous shows if you want to look any of those up. That's good water, ain't it?
I was just noticing that. Best water I've ever had.
We told you the story.
He didn't notice what's behind me. He just noticed the bottle.
Did we tell you that story about the water?
Obviously, from looking behind Gary, there's a story behind the water.
There's a story behind the good water.
Yeah.
When we first got this, you had it ice cold in the chest, or was that the track? And I opened one up and I'm drinking. I'm like, man, that's some good water, Gary. It tastes really good. And then five people that night came up to Joker and said, man, what is in this water? This is good water. It's good ice cold.
Five different people.
Yeah, different people.
Came and said, and so go ahead and drink it. If you quit talking towards the end of it, we'll know.
It's because of the good water. Yeah, we don't know what's in it, but
it's good water.
I think it's no pun intended, crystal water. So it's very addicting.
Yeah.
But anyway. I forget what you I was talking about before.
Turn
the
it a little bit and see what it says. There you go.
If you just joined it, we're just talking about how great this water is.
That's right. It is a racing show. But
yeah, and it is racing water.
That's right.
That's why it's so good. It's the late model truck series water.
And by the way, Mark, this ain't half of what we got. Trust me.
I was just reading the ingredients. It just says stuff.
Stuff.
And it should say good stuff, but it just says stuff. Yeah. Now, anyways, read this one. This one isn't as good.
Yeah, this one don't say stuff in it.
This is other stuff.
You notice what me and Mike are drinking, right? And you notice what you're drinking.
Only the best for you, Mark.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, we'll get back. I forget what I was even talking about before the water. Hair I just had
clear.
To tell you about the start.
You were talking about
the hair clear, yep. So we're just getting off that. You're going to find out what that's going to cost.
Yeah, because it's my responsibility, so I'll take care of it.
Thank you. Thank you very much. That sounds good. But anyways, what else we got to talk about? We're good?
We're done. Thanks for coming.
Thanks, Mark. Okay, we appreciate it.
Anytime.
Hey, the last couple weeks here, again, like I said, if you missed any of the shows last week, we had some real mothers in here.
Oh, yes. Some real mothers. A
couple of mothers of racing kids and husbands in here. So you want to catch that archive show. Before that, we had Chet. You know, Chet Mark from, used to be the announcer out at the LVMS, Chet Christner with Speed Shift TV. You want to make sure you check out Speed Shift TV. Go to LVMS.com and check out what's going on there. There's a lot of stuff coming up in February. I noticed the we're going to do the K&N West on dirt again, along with the doubleheader with the sprint cars in February to kick off the NASCAR racing season in the end of February. So it's going to be interesting. Did you catch any of that dirt?
Yeah.
What did you think of that? Was it a mess? Was it, in your opinion, was it the good? Because if you're not sure what happened, was it was a K&N West asphalt cars racing on dirt.
That's what it was.
You know, and I don't know if guys brought out their best cars or the worst cars, because I know, you know, there were some nice cars out there. There's some different teams up front on that race.
I think some of the guys, they all had the steel body cars instead of the one body.
Okay.
And a lot of guys dug up the steel body cars.
The old right ones.
So.
I know Greg Knight was saying, no, I'm sure they brought out the all the old cars in the back of the shop, you know.
Yeah.
I'm sure they did.
But
it was a good show. It was interesting to watch.
Yeah, they just kind of say missed the fact that those cars had windshields in them.
Right.
And the dust, along with the overhead lights and the glare, made it almost impossible for them to see.
Wow.
That's why they red flagged it and did some work to the track. And
well, it's a good point, because a lot of people probably didn't understand why they did that, and they did for a while. They wet the track down and all that, and I'd heard, because I went and watched, I caught like the last part of it, but a lot of people in the stands were like, what are they doing? Yeah, why they went in the track right now? And that brings up a good reason why, obviously. But I wonder if they're going to do anything different this next race, maybe take the windshields out, put screens in. Or if they're going
to
allow
I'm under the assumption that they would try to get, with the sprint cars, get it to rubber up. When it blackens up,
it
gets away with the dust. They didn't have enough cars and enough time on the track
to get
to turn it back.
Okay. That's a good point. See? We learn something every time with Mark. I know I do.
Yeah, if you watch like the Duel in the Desert, the whole thing goes black. And it's almost like a paved track. The dust is minimal.
Did you go to the Duel in the Desert?
No, I was racing.
Oh, that's right. That was the same weekend, wasn't it? You're actually getting yourself a championship. I forgot about that. But they went like Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You didn't catch any of the duel?
No, didn't make it there at all this year.
Do you usually go at some point? Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't run it in a few years. I got the cars, haven't got the time.
Right.
You have to start during the middle of the week, basically.
Right. That's what it seems. Like a lot of them guys.
Yeah.
But have you done any dirt racing lately?
I did this past summer. I took the car out.
I know I saw you once at Pahrump.
Pahrump.
This, I don't know, that was a while ago, I guess, Gary, but I don't know if you've been out there since.
Yeah, I took it to Pahrump a couple of times. We won the first time we took it to Pahrump last year. So.
Well, it's good to show up when you haven't been somewhere in a long time to go win some races. It's always fun. But,
yeah, that old dirt car is pretty reliable. You just clean it up, put some fuel in it, and go race it.
Do people come up and look at it, like, to kind of see what you have, and they see? Because it's just a leaf spring.
It's still that leaf spring car.
So people are probably pretty amazed.
People look at that and go, just shake their head. How does that thing go that fast?
Well, it's funny because you don't see that anymore, I've seen anywhere, at least. No.
Well, you know Dan Geiger built
that
car. And when he actually built that car, it was way ahead of its time.
At the time. So they're just catching up to you now.
For the first couple of years we ran that car, it was dominant anywhere we
took
it. And still today, it's a very competitive car. Very, very competitive.
No, that's cool to see you go out there. And like I tell anybody that ever sees you races, just watch Mark. You won't know how it happens. He might be in the back. And about five laps later, he'll be in the front. And you'll be like, how the hell did you get up there? It never fails. So that's cool to watch your race. So especially in a car that people don't think is going to be dominant like that. So.
Yeah, it doesn't have all the fancy graphics on it or nothing. Yeah. It's pretty plain looking. But when the smoke clears, that thing's usually up front.
Well, I know when you and Dan built all them type of cars in the past, everything down to the sheet metal was done for a reason, for whatever reason. Whatever bends you have in the bodies and all that, it's for whatever reason. And obviously it shows. I mean, every little bit adds up.
Yeah, that car, Dan, took a lot of time in how it was designed and the placement of everything. The SD box is behind the driver. The radiator overflow catch can is behind the driver. Everything's in the back of that car that could possibly be there.
Yeah, and there's...
I mean, he put a lot of effort into making that car, putting just what it needed to race so it was real light, and putting it, the things he had to put in the back where they would help the car. So it was a pretty trick car.
Well, I know when I used to come over once in a while, I'd be looking at your car. You probably didn't know that. I'd be like, hey, Dan, why is this like a hippie? Tell me, well, you know, all the little secrets and stuff like that. And it's cool to hear why he did everything that he did was for a reason, you know.
Yeah.
And it all adds up, obviously.
Yeah, there was a purpose behind everything he did on that car.
You drive your dirt car with one hand?
Yeah,
I mean, I remember because there was a spot on the old car that I bought from you, a spot where you used to actually hang on to the metal. I don't know if I built like that or what.
Yeah, I still drive the dirt car one hand, left hand. I just put my left hand at 12 o'clock. They drive so I just like out for a Sunday cruise.
Well, you know, it's funny because you watch these modifieds out there nowadays, and it looks like they're struggling. They're turning left, they're turning right, and they're lifting and three-wheeling and up and down the track, and it looks like they're struggling just to make it around the track. And to find out you just, you know, dirt one-handed,
wheel it around. Yeah.
But that's ideally how a race car should handle is.
When they handle pavement or dirt, when they're on, they're easy to drive. When they're off, that's when you're soft, both hands up there, struggling with it.
Do you find, like, with that dirt car, the dry slick track is a better track or a wet track? Or
the dry slick tracks
is a lot better.
The heavy tracks they refer to, the tacky tracks, not as much. It's still handling, but not as much. A strong motor that'll pull will make up for an ill handling car. Once it goes dry slick, power isn't so much the issue. It's truly the handling. The drier than slicker the track gets, more important the handling is.
So I guess that's where some of the patience comes in on your driving style. You know the track's going to start coming to you, and before you know it, the last five laps, you're always sneaking your way up front. I say sneaking because nobody notices you until it's like, hey, what the hell is this? It's like a pretty good window thing. I don't care what race it is. That seems to be your MO.
I've won a lot of them within, like you said, the last five laps. Just be patient. Be patient.
Right.
But I've gotten a lot of second places because I wasn't, you know, aggressive enough.
Well, you know, and I think a lot of people don't understand, you know, sometimes those seconds are okay because a lot of guys tear up their stuff trying to get that first place. And what do you gain from that? I guess it depends if you're in points, like a points chase or something like that. But if you're just out there to show up for a race, I mean, it's nice to get first. But if it means tearing up your stuff, it probably isn't worth it.
Yeah. I think there's some people that they try to get the win and tear their stuff up, tear the other guy up, and don't get the win, and then it's really bad. But or they tear their car up and find out the pieces that they tore up
wasn't worth.
They got $100 more in prize money, and they tore up $300 worth of stuff on their car to do it.
They get the trophy, but that's that doesn't make up for the tore up race car, you know. That's fun dirt racing, I guess. I don't get enough dirt racing in myself. Maybe we'll play around a little bit more next year.
Dirt racing's fun.
Yeah.
It's atmosphere. It's more kickback. You know,
right.
There's not as much pressure. You just kind of show up. And
do you find that at most dirt tracks? I noticed that at Pahrump. I haven't been to a lot of dirt tracks myself, but is that pretty much everywhere you go?
Unless you get into like the big money races, like the Duel in the Desert, like that, and then you've got, you know, three-quarters of the fielder guys are on kill mode, and that's all they do, and winning is everything to them, not just having fun racing.
Do you think, like, some of those type of races attract these guys that, you know, from a different track, they don't know who they're racing against. So they probably don't care if they tear the other guy's stuff up as much. Whereas local guys, you know, they kind of know each other. They know who to watch out for and all that.
Yeah. There's some truth that we race against the same guys on a weekly basis. You kind of get to know
right.
who you can run side by side, who you can't. The big shows, you know, you'll get in a heat race and there'll be 10 cars in there and you've never raced against any of them guys. You have no idea what they're going to do. And they're all heroes. They're all going to win.
Y'all want to win that first lap too, don't you?
Yeah.
You know, that's, I guess that's kind of the fun though, is racing with people you don't know. That does bring some excitement, I think. But
yeah. I mean, the truck series this year, there was somebody new at every race
yeah.
you had. So that made
yeah.
it interesting.
You know, we had what? Four different winners.
Yep.
You
four
know,
different
so
winners.
It just shows you anybody and on any given night could win, but consistency
yeah.
pays off. So
I mean, that showed your series that you know, the competitiveness, you had different winners
yeah.
and it came down to you. The championship wasn't decided until the last race.
Right.
So, you know,
it could have been anybody that last race, one of three people, I think.
And for its first season, that's pretty good, you know.
Yeah. You know, it's fun. We hope a lot more people drawn to it. We get people asking us, yeah, 2-3 times a week. I mean, it's just crazy the interest we have in the series. So it's really good to see that. And we can't wait. We know it's a lot of work, but we can't wait to go forward with it some more these next coming years and see what surprises it brings, because it's going to be full of surprises, I'm sure.
I mean, it's like anything. It has potential. You
right.
can see it. And if you take racing's dictated by the economy. The economy
sure.
is doing well. People are willing to spend more money and race and have fun and do that. And, you know, but one of the things that helped contribute to the dying of that ASA series back when it was running was the economy started to go
absolutely.
Back.
Absolutely. That's
and
right about that time.
Yeah,
too.
It just
absolutely.
People didn't want to travel anymore. They didn't want to spend that money. And all them cars or trucks got parked. Now
yeah.
you're starting to get them trucks out of the woodwork.
Oh,
they're
yeah.
showing up and they're racing. And, you know, people realize it's not a series that's going to get you fame and fortune. It's, hey, let's go have some fun. We get to run some different tracks,
right.
and some different people. And that it's kind of shown, you know, there wasn't anybody tearing stuff up. Little scruff marks here and there.
A little bit here
them.
And there. Usually our own guy. One of our guys. But,
yeah, by and large, you
yeah.
know, everybody when Dustin Ashton guys came over.
Oh,
they,
great
they,
show, yeah.
Yeah,
they
raced
show
real good, you know.
Absolutely. No, that's good. Yeah, it's good to have it out there. I think, you know, the local touring a series like that is going to be good for our local area, you know, the local tracks. You know, we have Vegas, of course, Havasu. Everybody that we've talked to loves Havasu and Bill Arizona on there and all them guys. Did, you know, they run a great operation down there. You know, great experience at the Speedway at Willow Springs with Andy Daddario
yeah.
over there. I mean, interesting little track. You know, last time I was there, and I couldn't believe how many years ago it was, I was watching one of my father's friends actually racing out there in a street stock division. It was a figure eight race, and he totaled his car out there. It was the last time I've been to that track. That car's in my backyard still, by the way. But it was funny. It was cool to be back there and just, you know, fun little track. And it was, you know, they put on a great show. That the night went smooth. I mean, they just kept the show going.
Yeah, it was.
Schedule.
It really was. I had never. I've been to the road course,
right.
there, but never that little oval track.
Yeah.
And that was. It was a cool little track.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to going back. Yeah, going back.
There, I liked
so.
It.
Yeah. So, yeah, we got you know, Orange Show coming up this year. I think we're gonna, you know, have some good racing there. I know you experienced that Orange
yeah.
Show on in the modifieds on. On top of other things.
Yeah,
I've
run my late model there a year
have
ago.
Have you? Okay.
Yeah.
So, speaking of late model, you just had a late model race.
Yeah,
Havasu.
Havasu had a really phenomenal weekend.
Wow.
I heard they had a record car count. I thought
no kidding.
71 cars.
Holy moly.
In
wow.
all the classes. I think there was 24 or 5 late models.
Nice.
One broke a motor or something, but they had a strong field of late models.
Cool.
I think throughout the whole course of the day, the racing, there was nobody really got tore up bad. There's a few little incidents, but the late models pretty just car spinning, little things.
Sure.
Nobody got tore up. It was a pretty good race. Lenny White pretty much
dominated.
he schooled everybody pretty good, but there were some good races in the pack. I mean, it was a good show. They had a good crowd. It was a beautiful weather, like it always is this time of year down there. So it went real well.
That was the opening race for the late model?
Yeah, it's the opening for their – it's a six-race series, four days. Two of them are twin 50s.
Twin 50s, okay.
Yeah, they run the next two races are twin 50s, and then they end up with a 100-lapper.
What do you think? Because that
– And I have to get my
– Go ahead.
My dig in Sigma Engineering Solutions.
Okay.
They sponsored the series again this year.
They sponsored last year. I was surprised. They jumped on board – kind of late, didn't they? Or
no,
they were there for the full season. I was surprised to see that. I was glad to see them sponsored.
Yeah. Joe, the owner, being a racer, he loves racing, and that they put together the deal, and he's real happy. Everybody, liked it. So, and the car count's one of the highest it's ever been there.
I can't believe. Hey, I was going to ask you, as far as that division goes there, what do you think is making that such a success at that track? They're not super late models. You're talking about late models. A mix of older late models and some newer ones. They seem to race well with each other. What do you think is making that
ingredient work? The baseline rules. It running on that 8-inch tire.
Mm-hmm.
The track doesn't have grip, so power isn't an issue. You don't hear anybody say, "Oh, I need more power.
Right.
I need more." No,
it's not about
the guy with the lowest amount of power in the field can't hook it up. And the 2-barrel carburetor.
Okay.
Kind of dictates that. The tire, the carburetor, the general weight rule, and they run 2,900 pounds, 58% left. The older cars can attain that real easy. My car's 22 years old.
Wow.
And it runs at 2,958 left. It's a little longer and wider, so some of the, Lanny White's car is shorter.
It's 105 inch.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're a little short. They turn a little better.
Right.
There's some advantage to them, but by and large, most of the cars run pretty much equal.
And they do have some type of weight, I want to call it a penalty, but a weight penalty for some of the newer cars or maybe the different wheelbases,
As far as I know, they don't. Lenny White's car is probably the newest, most modern car in the field. And I think he runs the same weight, 2,900, 58 left, and the tires and the wheels and the carburetor, they all kind of run the same. Lenny's just fast.
Yeah, I know. He can show up anywhere and be fast. That's for sure.
But yeah, there's a good mix of cars in there. There's some good racing. And there's some younger guys in there that are getting experience. There's that High Point Racing Toyota development team that comes up there for racing. They usually got some of those guys in there. So it's got a good mix of drivers. There's some older guys like me that have been around for a while. So we tend to school the younger kids a little.
There you go. You gotta give them something to think about when they go home, right?
Yeah.
Now, I love watching the late models there because they, like you said, they don't ever seem like they're tearing their stuff up that much. There's a two groove track there at Hatsu. It's fun to watch that.
Mix. I talked to Tim Huston, who runs High Point Racing, which is a Toyota development program. Why they came there, and he said, "That's what I said." The tight little racing, it's competitive, and there's guys like me that have been around for a long time that are good, that the young kids need that experience to race, and somebody that can race them hard and clean and not tear up stuff and learn how to race.
Well, because I think a lot of these younger guys, especially being on iRacing and these different types of digital racing they do, they don't feel the consequences as much of wrecking cars, so they're always in a hurry and all that. So to get them out on the road, a real live racing experience with guys like yourself that are real patient, they have to learn that patience to not, try to win the very first lap.
Yeah, well, that's what I see in general. A lot of the younger guys, they'll run up real hard right up front, and they're fast in the beginning, just kind of cruise along there, and then pretty soon they come back to me.
Tires are starting to go away.
Just this last weekend, it was one of the Huddleston's cars that finished right in front of me. I caught him, and the yellows let his tires cool off, so he was fast again, but I could see him struggling.
His handful. Making it turn.
Yeah, I was like, oh, I got this one. I can get him.
Well, and you find yourself in a position sometimes, I think, where you probably could have gotten him, but.
Yeah, I know. I wasn't going to move him.
Exactly.
We were racing for seventh place. I wasn't going to.
Right.
What's
the point? I've heard Dan say that in the past. Hey, from seventh to sixth or eighth to seventh, what are you going to gain from it? You know, it's not worth, you know, ruining anything.
If it was the last lap of a 10,000 to win race, that's a different story.
Different, yeah. Right. Maybe a $1,000 difference per position. Yeah. Somebody's getting moved. But now, you know, those late model races, man, I love there at Havasu. When's the next one? Do you know? By any chance?
I was going to. January 5th is the next one.
Okay.
Twin 50th.
Okay. And that's going to be a twin?
Twin 50.
That's going to be cool. And do they move to a earlier time
in
January?
Night race.
That's still a night race? Okay.
Yeah, this one was a day race. They started
at
2 o'clock.
Okay.
And the next ones are night
races. Night races. Okay. Now, do you like the day races versus the night?
Yeah,
Not really. You like just the
The only thing about the day races, like this last Saturday, was we kind of got the sunset in our eyes a little bit coming off of turn two.
Right.
But once you're racing, when you're doing the warm up up, you're looking at that sun.
Right. When you're racing, you block that out.
Yeah, you just I just ask my spotter, is anybody complaining about the sun? He goes, nope. Okay, well, then we're racing.
Right, I guess I'm not going to complain either, right?
I'm not worried.
And it is June 5th.
Is it June? July? January.
January. I'm sorry. January 5th. I'm sorry. I've got other things.
He's thinking summer.
Yes, at 6 p.m.
Yeah,
6 p.m. race. Okay. That's cool. I'm got to try to make one of those twin races. Those are always – I love the twin races, so – those are always fun to watch. What other divisions do they have running down there?
They had obviously the Bandoleros running. I'm not sure what they call them, like the factory stocks.
Oh yeah.
And then they had street stocks or super stocks, whatever the Camaro type cars.
Yeah,
they're
called street
stocks.
There.
Yeah, whatever they call those cars.
Modified.
No.
Yeah, the modifieds were there this week.
They did.
Yes, they had
their local modified.
The 602
Modified. 602
modified. Doug Hamm and a bunch of them guys from Vegas went over there.
Pat Petrie.
Yeah, same rules. They run the same rules as Vegas.
Now, from my understanding, it's kind of a mini series that they're going to run between Havasu and Vegas with the 602 modified. So that's cool. That's interesting. It's a good idea. You know, they need to work together like that more often, I think. So.
Well, that's what I'm taking the open motor out of my Lucas modified and putting the 602 crate motor in it.
You're going to run that? Oh, that's cool. That's
we were talking about trying to do that this last weekend, but it's too
much work.
Too much for me and my guy to try to deal with two cars at the same time like that. I'm up for racing both classes, but it just, you know how that is.
Oh, yeah. That's tough. That's definitely tough. I know. One of the nicer things, let's say going back to the late model trucks that we have are the quick change rear ends versus like the 9-inch rear end that you run on a modified. So it's a lot easier to just swap out gears and run at a different track, you know. But I guess that's not too bad between two tracks if you're going to have a Havasu and Vegas or something like that.
The 9-inch Fords are not that hard to change. You know, with the floater rear ends, pull the axles out. It probably takes longer to drain the oil than it does to actually unbolt the thing and put it back in.
Well, if you have a nice shot like yourself, it's easy.
You're doing it in the middle of the street. It's another story.
Not as easy, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, when we ran for the IMCA regional and national points, we were changing gears in the parking lot at truck stops from one track to the next. Cause, like El Centro on Saturday night and then run out Casa Grande on Sunday. Well, that warranted a gear change. So we'd stop and
that's crazy.
Change the gear in the parking lot. When you change gears 3-4 times a week like that, you've got it down.
It becomes easier. You know exactly what.
I was going to say, Dan doesn't even get any security.
Very rarely Dan changes gears.
He got grease on his fingers. He had to go take a shower.
Well, that kind of brings some excitement to the racing at different tracks and all that, to know what you got to do and all that. But I don't know. We're mad at Dan the other day. We're like, we needed some aluminum welder. We're like, damn it, Dan, where are you? But you know anybody that welds aluminum?
I've been playing with
it. Oh, have you?
Yeah.
We got a project for you. So.
It depends on what it is. I might tackle it.
No, we've already talked about it.
Oh, okay. Well, he didn't talk to me about it, so you guys may have talked about it.
Yeah, no, we have already talked about it.
Well, I got the TIG machine we still have, but I bought a Miller, I think it's a 225 or 250 with the spool gun on it.
Oh.
So if it, depending on what it is, if it's something real small and tedious, you need the TIG machine. And I've been playing with that. I can lay down a good bead when everything's perfect, but it's when you weld that thin stuff to the thick stuff or vice versa. You know, you did that almost artwork like Dan used to do. I haven't got there.
It's a little different. I know this guy, he does aluminum welding sometimes, but he's like a perfectionist. Maybe that's part of it, but I saw him try to weld this something. I can't remember what it was now, and he was having the roughest time getting it to lay in the way it was supposed to. And I thought it looked good, even though he said it was messed up, so he redid it, and oh, man. I think you got to have, like, real precision when you're doing that.
Yeah, well, you also have to be a metallurgist. It's not, you know, there's so many different types of aluminum, and see, that was what Dan was good at. He could
identify
it, and he'd say, oh, I can lay a good bead on this, but this is 75 T6, it's going to break. It's going to crack. It's too brittle, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, he had that cylinder head welded down to a science too.
Yeah. Yeah, that's you don't find a lot of that nowadays. I think the experience some of these older guys had, you know, and
a lot of them tell you just go buy a new head.
Yep,
that's much easier
nowadays, right?
Just go buy a new head. Yeah, that's the one thing I regretted when the Dan Geiger welding school was in session. I should have paid more.
We take it for granted. Like, hey, you just love this. I'll come back later.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well. I suck at welding. I don't care if it's metal or paper with glue. I just don't have the patience for that stuff. Leave it to the pros.
Yeah, no, Havasu had a really good weekend. There was excellent car count, good racing. I don't think anybody got tore up bad where they went home mad or, you know, no fights or nothing like that. It was a good weekend.
And being a day race, you usually don't stay there. You end up.
Yeah, we always come back. Even the night races, we come back because he usually ends
early.
Even the night races there, they shoot for 10 o'clock at the latest, and we load up and come home.
Especially with the time change, you come back and you
gain an hour.
So you're good. Yeah. Still got time to watch TV.
Unload.
Right? Yeah, Havasu's cool. And then I guess the January 5th race is their first race back from their off. So they're off all in December.
Yeah, they're off from the 24th to the 5th.
Okay.
All of December.
Cool. What other races you got planned coming up? You got dirt races planned? Anything? Or just kind of whatever comes up? And the schedules, not all the schedules are out right now, so I know some are starting to come out, and, you know, that dictates kind of what you plan on doing. You talked about this.
I have my other late model that I got from Joe at Sigma. Mm-hmm. It's up in Post Falls, Idaho.
Oh, cool.
And we've been running up off and on for the last few years up there.
Oh,
and
cool.
They want me to come race all season up there, and I'm like, man, I'd love. But it just hasn't worked out.
Is that at one track up there, or is it kind of a mini series?
No, State Line's the one back there. They're the ones that we ran most of the time at, and we ran real competitive. Like first time down there, I think we qualified fourth, won the dash, and finished second or third in the main. You know, we did real good. You know, we ran because the rules just fit my car perfectly. They run basically the same rules as Havasu. Same. I didn't have to change anything.
No kidding. That's pretty cool.
With my old white late model, and we ran real good. So this new car, I think, will do better. But it's up there now.
Have you raced that car up there?
No, I haven't. We let somebody else drive it a couple of races up there last year that I couldn't make it up there. But the plan is I'm going to look at their schedule and see if I can make all of their races. If I can make all of their races, then and back into like try to run all your truck races.
Yep. That'd be cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Like the Havasu series, it doesn't conflict with anybody.
Right.
Done before anybody
technically
started.
A winter series, so it's when everybody else is.
So, my goal is to try to run all races up there, run all the truck races, and then if it works, if I can run all the modified races in Vegas, I'll do that. But at some point, if they conflict, I have to make a choice. In my head,
they won't. The other people won't be too disappointed
that
you're running with us.
That's right.
No, hey, you know, we'll we'll try to get the schedule out as soon as we know more, and that way you can.
The thing with going up to Idaho is it's $100 round trip.
Yeah.
I can't, the fuel to go to Havasu is that much.
Right.
About a 3.5 hour flight, so it's not bad.
Bad. Yeah.
I have a place to stay. There's the cars there.
That's cool.
But my girlfriend loves going up there.
Oh, yeah.
That's,
that's, yeah.
She's like, every time we're going to Idaho, I'm going.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, she really enjoys it up there. You know, we were there one night, and they're like, "Oh my God, we've got a heat wave! We're all gonna die from the heat wave." I'm like, "Well, what's the heat wave?"
Yeah,
well, 90 degrees. That's the heat wave.
You're like, we'll still wait for the other 20 degrees. Where is it? Wow, that's funny. That's cool. What type of track is that? Is that a?
It's kind of a small 3/8 or a big quarter. It's Bankmore. It's a two groove track.
Is it?
Ask Thane Alderman about it. He's one up there. He likes that track. You can pass people on it. The preferred line is kind of down around the bottom, but if your car's working good, you can get around somebody.
Wow.
We missed, I want to say they have 12 races. I think we missed 3 of them.
Oh, that's it.
And,
no kidding.
We did real well. I enjoyed that track. It was real racy, and the guys up there, you know, they're a group of guys that have been racing together, and they get it. They don't tear their stuff up week in and week out.
Has Thane been running up there too, or not?
Not so much. I can't remember the last time he actually raced. I know he went to the Montana 200, which is in the general
pretty
neighborhood,
big show.
Right, more than half of the country.
Right, kind of the side of the middle of the U.S.
But in talking to him, I guess they really enjoyed the Montana 200. They went up there and they rented somebody's house or something. They didn't stay in a hotel, and they had a really good time up there.
So. Yeah, that would be an interesting, race to go watch, something like that, even the Idaho race.
So yeah, they got the Idaho 200. There's about, I don't know, 6 or 8 of them races that are, you know, pay $10,000 or $20,000 to win.
Wow,
and they get,
no kidding,
a lot of cars show up.
Oh, I can imagine. So up in that area, some decent sponsors. What do they think of someone like yourself coming up from out of town? Because most likely they're mostly locals.
Yeah,
at a track like
mostly
that.
Mostly locals. So. And we went from the day we first went up there, they liked us. We
That's
raced
cool.
Competitive right off the bat, and. Yeah, me, I race pretty clean.
Right.
Tear nothing up. That's
exactly.
What,
that makes
a difference.
Love
that.
Yeah. What about the stands? I mean, it looked like they filled the stands.
Their stands
decent.
Are real big there. It's an older track.
Oh.
Been there for a long time. But they got a pretty decent car fan base there.
Is it close to a bigger town? Or?
It literally, State Line Speedway is on the state line of Idaho and Washington.
Oh.
There, the Spokane is like
so they,
right there.
Oh, wow.
I'd say probably most of the racers and most of the fans
from
Spokane,
from Washington.
Spokane.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, it's like I think it's less than a half a mile from the border.
But we'll have to take a travel day up there with Mark's Racing one of these days.
Yeah.
We won't drive. We'll fly.
You don't want to drive.
Yeah, no kidding, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's cool.
It's about a 15-hour drive.
Holy moly.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's you take I-15 all the way to
Strickland, hit the 15 and don't turn, right?
Yeah, just, somewhere in Montana, you run into the 90s.
Oh, man. Yeah, that sounds like fun.
Yeah, in the summertime, it's beautiful up there. Like fishing, there's a lot of things to do up there in the summertime. It's just beautiful up there.
I guess that's something I wouldn't
sounds
want.
Sounds like a vacation trip.
Yeah, exactly right. That might be something they do with a lot more. There are rain out days at that track.
Yeah, they do have more potential for weather days.
How's the payouts and stuff up there? They've had pretty decent for their local show.
Yeah.
Just pretty decent for a local
yeah.
show, I guess.
Yeah, I want to say most tracks pay for a late model race, $500 to win.
Yeah, that seems pretty typical. So.
They have... tire rules, so they kind of keep the cost down.
What are they running up there?
They run the 970.
Same tire.
I took my car
you just
up
take
there.
Your car up and
it fit the rules. I was happy. I'm like, hey, I don't want to change anything.
That's pretty cool.
So, And, you know, with the economy the way it is, that's what racers like. If they can go two or three tracks close to home,
right.
get the variety in the traveling and enjoyment out of it,
you know,
not
almost,
spend a lot of money.
You know, it almost seems like, and I don't know if it's just from what I happen to run across in articles and stuff like that, it seems like just the plain late model type race cars are more prominent up in those areas like Idaho or Washington, where super late models are more when you start getting into the lower southern areas like Vegas and, you know.
Yeah, they
Irwindale
have super, they're super late models up there.
Are there? Okay.
They're more of the, I want to say, specialty shows, like the Idaho 200 and Montana 200. They're super late model races. The bigger, higher paying races, they're super late model races.
They're in the supers. I didn't notice that, but just happened to notice it most.
To the average person, to look at the two cars,
you wouldn't know.
Yeah. Watch them go around the track. The supers are faster, but they look the same.
Yeah. I don't know. I'd like to see more of the late, like, for instance, when they have their Senators Cup, they stopped racing the late models 1 year, then they brought them back this past year again. So it's fun to watch, you know, an actual late model show along with, let's say, a super late model race, you know, maybe attract some of the guys from Havasu and places like that. But I don't know.
Yeah, Havasu has a good mix of cars. It has cars from Vegas. I think there was 4 cars from Vegas. Some from the Orange Show, some from Irwindale, and some from the local area right there. So they have a pretty good mix of cars.
I guess they just know how to bring the cars in, the people in. They just have the right mojo, I guess.
Well, you know, the weather's nice. That's what people like.
Well,
the weather's nice,
true.
And, you know, there's no pressures. You know, it's like you're not racing for a lot of money. You know that. You know, it's a small, little, tight track, so you're not going that fast, so if something does go wrong, you don't destroy a car. So it's a fun place to race. I think the atmosphere, everybody's pretty kicked back there. There's no real pressure, you know.
Right.
Really laid back. I think that's what one of the driving things why you get the variety.
Right.
And like with Huddleston's development program for the Toyota guys, it's experience.
Sure.
You know, this time of year, it's hard to find a track that's running.
Right.
You know, most everybody's closed for the year.
Yep.
So here, you can go. And a lot of development guys, they're booked up during the season. So here's a chance to come on. I want to say that Haley Deegan and some of the others, they've had a host at Jagger Jones. You know,
Jagger Jones,
They get some people in the cars. It gets them that experience.
Right. Well, yeah, and then that's a kind of a good change from coming from a half-mile track that they, you know, like you said, they usually run on, so.
Yeah, someone would like, they get there and go, we're going around this track?
how many of these late models?
They all fit. We're going to
You know, that's cool. I think that is some experience that a lot of these young, newer, up-and-coming drivers don't get, you know, elsewhere.
Yeah.
They not used to getting on these little tiny quarter-mile tracks and all that. So it's not like coming to Vegas. I think it's like kind of a in-between track, but, man, it's one groove.
Yeah, Vegas is fast.
Yeah.
If something goes wrong there,
tear stuff up.
Yeah, you're pretty
be
fast.
Getting a new car. I know. Have you ever totaled a car at Vegas?
No.
I did once. That was a long time. That was mini stock. I got to know Steve Burke real well.
Nope. Havasu is the only place I've had help, but yes.
But it was totaled.
Yeah, it was totaled.
Really?
It was totaled. Thanks to my buddy Jesse Day for putting up on his frame machine and fixing her back up.
See, so it wasn't totaled.
it was totaled.
Fixable.
Yeah. The radiator was hanging out the left fender. Yeah, it was totaled.
Oh, man. You ever see Steve Burke anymore?
I talked to him here recently. Kind of giving him some help with his shop there at his house. Some building permit things we were working on. But actually, I got to go see him. I need to get some new lower A-arms for my modified.
I forgot, because the modified still runs stock
parts. Pieces on the front of the modified.
Can they still get you parts?
I hope so.
What do you need? I might have some. I got some lower.
I need modified. Right lower A-arms off the Crown Victoria.
Crown Vic. Oh, I don't have those.
It's weird. They run a
GM front stub with the Ford Crown Vic lower.
On both sides, not just one side. Cause I know they used to run a lot of the Ford stuff on one side.
They run the Ford on the right side because it was longer.
Longer, that's what it is.
See? That's how they make that Chevy stuff go fast, is put Ford stuff on it.
You have to, right? Figures. Pull parts off of your. You have a Crown Vic around here somewhere.
Yeah, I got a couple of them.
You're missing some ARMs. You know where they went. But last time I went to the junkyard, just walking around, you don't see the same cars out there anymore. I remember you seeing a whole bunch of Camaros and you know, all different stuff that had good parts
on
it.
You look down the row and it's all plastic bumpers now. Yeah. No more metal bumpers.
All of them. Whatever, Nissan, Pontes, and those kind of cars.
Just get anything with the V8 to make you go all the way to the back of the junkyard now. If you're lucky, you can set something aside for you in the back. Tell them, hey, if you go to the auction, can you look for one of these for me? I've gotten a couple cars from what I was telling you, the mini stock I totaled. I pulled some good stuff on it. It's the old Sunbird. Yeah, I don't know if you get those were the rear wheel drive, like 70 something Sunbird. He goes, I think there's something out here. So I went and walked years and years ago. This is the late 90s. Walked to the junkyard, and there's something that turnkey basically goes, yeah, you take that one if you want. I was like, all right. The good old days. You can still find stuff at the junkyard. I spend all day walking around the junkyard just looking at it.
And speaking of mini stocks, that was one of the classes that ran at Havasu. I remember seeing them. They had a pretty good turnout of those, too.
No kidding. Yeah. They don't usually run mini stocks there on a regular basis.
Yeah, they don't. They had.
Was that the Pony Stocks?
I think that
Stocks.
Well, that's good. I didn't know know they once in a while they have them there. So
they had.
Cool.
I bet arrows were there.
12, 14 of them.
Wow.
They had all the classes had a good, the 71 cars.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
You know, like a lot of those, I know when we went to Orange Show, we saw the most mini stocks I've ever seen at one track.
And they all but about three were Pintos.
Yeah, were Pintos. Yeah.
There was a bunch of Pintos there. That's always been the kind of dominant
car. I think that's
now,
the pony stock shirt.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. Wow, that's cool.
The Bandoleros and factory stocks.
Too bad I missed that. Damn it. Was it a Thanksgiving show? I mean, pretty much, you know, Thanksgiving weekend. I know a lot of people.
They had a good crowd, a really good crowd. He gets a good crowd every
week. Yeah, I don't know how they do it. I guess because of snowbirds and stuff.
Yeah, a lot of retired people live there, just like their big car shows they have.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of old car buffs there.
Right.
And what else to do on Saturday night or Saturday? Go to the stock car races. Yeah. I think if they put in an 8th mile drag strip in that town, you'd probably get a good crowd there too.
Oh yeah. Don't they have another track? I don't know what it is. That's the motocross track. I think on the island they have something there. But
yeah, they've been rumors that they were going to build another paved track and stuff, but I don't think that's ever going to fly.
And I thought there was rumors about a eighth mile drag strip.
Yeah.
There.
Yeah. The cost to build a quarter mile with its runoff area and everything is just expensive. But an 8th mile, interest. A lot of the small import cars, some guys like that 8th mile drag race.
Right.
That's real popular.
Sure. What are you looking at?
Nothing.
Must be an inside thing with you.
Nothing.
I know Irwindale, there's the 8th mile. Yeah. They have a short track there.
Yeah, my understanding, that does real well.
Oh, yeah.
I've heard rumors that the 8th mile drag racing financially does better than the stock.
No kidding. That's interesting.
Yeah.
They probably charge more for, like, their back gate.
I don't know how all that works, but, you know, Tim Huddleston's running that track now.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He took it over.
Last year, wasn't it?
I want to say it's business as usual. They're having races, and they're doing their concerts and the drag racing, and they do movie stuff there.
They have always leased it out for movie commercials and things like that.
Yeah, it's a pretty good business. You know, you take the Las Vegas Motor Speedway, you drive out there almost any day, there's something going around one of them tracks out there.
Oh, yeah.
There's always something going on.
That's why I thought, like, at Vegas, for instance, because of all that activity, that a lot of the larger track money should just funnel down to the 3/8 mile, you know, so they don't have to worry about, you know, maybe put, you know, bigger purse money out there or some other ways to attract car counts, but I don't know.
Yeah, I think the economy turning around is helped. You see, the car counts were dwindling everywhere,
tracks
were closing. Well,
absolutely.
You kind of don't hear no much rumblings about tracks closing. The tracks that are opening, you see, when you come, you see new improvements and stuff at them, and the car counts are going up. So
you're starting to see them, like you said, slowly. Like the divisions that used to have eight, you know, six, eight, now they got 12. You know, back up even with the super late models, you know, they're up back up to what, 14 maybe on a regular basis, where they were down to eight for a long time. You know, for a track like Vegas, that's you know.
I go to the PRI show every year, and that kind of gives me a feel of where racing's at, because the people actually in the industry making parts and cars and everything that support racing, they're all there.
Right.
And you kind of talk to people you deal with and stuff, and you, how's business for you? And they'll say, yeah, it's been better.
Right.
And
these are people dealing with people all over the U.S. So
Last year, everybody was real positive about it at the show. So I'm looking forward to going back.
You're
this
going.
Year.
That's coming up
next
couple
week.
Weeks. Next week is it? Damn, already.
Yeah.
What are we doing wrong?
Not going to the PRI.
We
need to
hitch a ride this week. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, like you said, you go every year.
I want to say I think it's the 32nd or 33rd year they've had it.
Wow.
And I've pretty much gone every year.
No kidding.
Yeah.
I know Greg usually talks about it.
Yeah. Greg's going with me.
That's
going down together.
I haven't talked to him in a little while to give him a call. He's too busy vacationing.
Don't call him next week. He won't be
here.
Next
week. I'll call him at the PRI show.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll have to hit that one of these years.
Yeah.
I've been meaning to go. So, are we already?
Hold on. Before we get to Mark's sponsor stuff,
okay.
I made my phone call.
Yep.
And the custom earbuds is $185.
All right. $185 at HearClear. 725-333-4327.
I made my phone call and I took care of what I was responsible for.
If we put out there just for you guys.
That's right.
Hey, real quick, you know, we've only got a couple minutes left. Anybody, sponsor that you need to talk about? We always help. Want to promote the local businesses.
Well, the usual Steve Burke and Pickup Parts
always
a helping hand. Cannon Filters, Hypercoil Springs, Bart Wheels. Rick Clement over at Bart Wheels has been behind me for a long time. Almost all my cars have Bart Wheels on them. So
we'll have to start running all Bart Wheels.
Right.
Just because of Mark.
Call Mark and order them.
Hey, can you get us a good deal?
Yeah, a discount.
Hey, well, no, seriously, maybe we can talk.
I believe he has chrome ones.
My truck runs chrome ones.
We'll talk to you because we want to bring on some, you know, for the truck series to have some common, you know.
Yeah, I think the last time I ordered a whole pallet load of wheels.
Okay.
And like already got some, a handful of people that I just kind of pre-sold them and said, I'll place an order and get the wheels.
Sorry, didn't mean to cut you off. So, Bart Wheels, definitely one that we'll talk to you about.
That's
it. If anybody wants to talk to you or find out more, anybody to ask any questions?
Yeah, most everybody.
They know where to find you. So
Still in the same shop. And
we'll have a segment on Ask Mark on our show. Well, hey, thanks for being here with us, Mark. It's always a pleasure, you know.
It's always fun hanging out with you guys.
Hey, we might have to have you on more. We're missing somebody here, so.
You know,
I don't know.
I really miss Jay.
I know, right? He definitely brings an aura to the show. So.
I miss being JJ.
Yeah. So we'll have to call him up and see how JJ is doing.
On a Tuesday night.
Yep, there you go. Thanks for joining us again here at AutoWorldNow.com. We'll see you live next Tuesday. And,
Fuck Corey. Thanks for coming.
Thanks for listening.